Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Uh-huh. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still
Yo,
dying.
I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The currents, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't looking.
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Layla Tawab, which means good evening or good night in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, as always, Tazapa. I'm joined this evening by my wife, Hasadiah, and my wife, Labia. Where are you at? Hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a good Sabbath, Tawab, or good weekend. Hope everybody's in good spirits, man, and good health. I would like to start off by saying thank you to WADA, brothers and sisters, for, can you put this over there? Brothers and sisters, for all y'all prayers for myself and my family, especially my mother. She is doing about as well as could be expected. Oh, my goodness. What is this thing doing? Man, I've had some major technical issues this evening, man. In fact, it looks like I'm still having them. Oh, that's what it is. I don't know how long it's going to take. So I had to move some stuff around, y'all. Some of this information I had on my iPad. Some of this information, excuse me, y'all. Some of this information I had on my iPad, and my iPad just froze up on me, man. It got to tripping. Got it back working. But now I guess it's doing the update. So I'm not sure if it'll be back on by the time I actually get to the class. I hope it is, because I got some real important and very impactful, enlightening information from some articles that I pulled up on there. If it's the first time tuning into the show, man, welcome. Welcome to Bible Talk on the Blog Talk platform. We've been doing this for quite some time, y'all. But we are, in fact, the people of the book, and we prove this, man, through the biblical prophecy, as well as a lot of secular sources, a lot of history books, y'all. Appreciate y'all's support. The first hour, I usually do a current events, news, talk pod soapbox, before I actually get into the class, titled Never Wax Pale, Martyrs for the Gospel, Part 3. Hold on for y'all, for a second, y'all. I'm sorry about that. This phlegm, man, I don't know what is going on. I've had this for a minute, man. It's getting on my nerves. But like I was saying, this is a series that I've been working on for quite some time. It has many installments. You guys are more than welcome to go back and to the archive shows and just pick one, man. Pick one and get into it. But let me go ahead and get into the show. Let's get Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on a daily, brothers and sisters, so we can get the hell on, man. So let's get Psalm chapter 118, verse 24, please.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it.
Please believe me.
All right, y'all. So let me see where I want to go first. Matter of fact, man, let me not be impolite, man. I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools, the brothers here in San Antonio. What's tonight, Tuesday? They got class going on tonight? It's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Under the Brother of War. Also sending shouts out to our brother Kwata Zop and the crew down in H-Town. The brother Kazakia up in VA, holding it down. Shout out to Zion Nala out in Rochester, putting things together with the brother Bakar Gabbar. Man, I have to holler at you. It's been a minute since I checked in with your brother. Also sending shouts out to the brother Aish in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Our brothers and sisters in Canada, California, Atlanta, and shout out to Kawakab down in Guatemala. All right, let's see where we need to go first. Man, I can do this. I'm probably going to lose that particle. I guess we, let me just go there.
Hold on, y'all.
Let me see if I can jump back to that one. Cool, it came up. So let's get that one. So as a diet, you might have to reposition yourself.
Hold on for a second, Mark. Pinch is coming in.
From CNN.com, recorded Tuesday, December 5th, 2023. Texas student disciplined for length of his locked hairstyle returns to class only to be suspended again.
All right, I don't know if you've been keeping up with this story, but this young brother, they got a picture of him. Handsome brother, nice hairdo. He's got locks, and he's got them cornrows. Bring back some good old memories when I used to have my locks, and I still have my hairline. But anyway, this brother has been going back and forth, him and his parents, with, I believe, yeah, the Texas Board of Education over his hairstyle. And they've been petitioning the courts under the Crown Act. If you're unfamiliar with what the Crown Act is, the Crown Act was something that I believe a sister out of St. Louis initially started, and it caught some momentum across the country, and eventually they took their fight all the way to Congress. And what the Crown Act does is it allows our people with ethnic, what they deem ethnic hairstyles, we know it is just our hair, the way we sport our hair, but it allowed them to go into the workplace and go into professional arenas and not have to change their heritage, not have to change their hairstyle up, cut it, make it look white, make it look, I guess, non-threatening for white people or whatever the hell. But they came up with this Crown Act, and under that law, this brother should be able to go back to school with no problems. But I think, I'm not sure, because I know that the Crown Act is not in effect in all states. And I think Texas may be one of the states that is not active or legal. It may be, it may not be. I'm not sure. But this is what's going on, y'all. So go ahead and finish reading that.
A black Texas high school student who has been repeatedly disciplined by his school over the length of his locked hairstyle returned to regular classes Tuesday after spending 30 days at an alternative school.
So they put him out, and they put this young brother in a damn alternative school over a hairstyle. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what an alternative school is, man, an alternative school is where they send the bad kids. You know, the kids, I hate to say this, but it's like being in prison with violent offenders and you're a nonviolent offender. So they send these kids, they sent this brother to school with these kids who are thugged out, who are wilding out, doing all types of things. And this brother might be a straight L7. I mean, he might be square. He might not be into all the stuff that they into. But they're putting him around dangerous people based off a damn hairstyle, man. And I haven't been to alternative school. I guess I've been to a semi-alternative school. I went and graduated from a high school, NJROTC. It's a military school. And this school, a lot of people in St. Louis deem this school as a good school. And it was for the most part. But, man, we had the biggest thugs in the St. Louis metropolitan area at our school. I mean, I put it to y'all like this, man. I remember days where we would be drinking 40 ounces and shooting dice in the morning in the locker room at school. I'm not proud of it, y'all. This is also where I first started selling dime bags in high school. I'm not proud of it. Just to give y'all a sense of what these alternative schools look like. So they sent this brother there. So, well, Labi, I need this information too. So Labi just sent me Texas Legislature 2023. Abbott signs into law Crown Act banning race-based hair discrimination. Yeah, so this is here in Texas. Governor Greg Abbott is legal here. So I don't know what issues they having with this brother. Y'all sent me the states too, y'all. Hold on, let me bring it up. The Crown Act is law in the following states: Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. So those are all the states that recognize the Crown Act, y'all, in case you didn't know. All right, read on in the article. I'm sorry, back to my point. So they sent this brother, like I said, I don't know the brother personally, don't know the family, but he might be, you know, not into all the thugged out stuff, but now he's being exposed to it unfairly over a damn hairstyle. Read.
He was then suspended again for refusing to cut his hair to comply with a dress code policy his family says is discriminatory.
So he came back. And they still was messing with him over his hair, telling him to cut his hair now. Read.
On Tuesday morning, Daryl George, 18, briefly attended class at Barbers Hill High School before a school administrator referred him to in-school suspension, according to Candace Matthews, a spokesperson for the family. A copy of the school's referral notice obtained by CNN states Daryl's hair is out of compliance with the BH dress code when let down. If Daryl corrects his dress code violation, he will be allowed to return to his regular classes. George will remain suspended for 13 days, the notice states. Allie Booker, an attorney for George and his family, said she is working to try to get the suspension stopped. George's latest suspension follows 3 months of disciplinary action for violating the school's strict dress code.
They've been messing with his brother for 3 months. You know what that's called under their laws? Harassment. Ain't nobody talking about that, though, huh? And then it's not just regular harassment. Harassment of a minor. Read.
George's latest suspension follows 3 months of disciplinary action for violating the school district's dress code, which states a male student's hair cannot be worn in a style that would allow the hair to extend below the top of a T-shirt collar, below the eyebrows, or below the earlobe when let down.
They say a classmate or a student? What did they say?
A male student.
A male student. Oh, they still recognize gender. You don't say.
I guess he just identified as a girl, then it'd be okay.
Yeah, you could do that one, right?
He
can become a shim. Read.
In October, David Bloom, a spokesperson for Barbers Hill Independent School District, told CNN George was referred to a disciplinary alternative education program, also known as an alternative school, for 30 days for multiple infractions, including failing to meet the school's dress code requirements.
Mm-hmm.
The George family refutes the school's claims and refuses to cut the teen's hair, which they say he wears in braids to comply with the dress code. They argue the district policy is a violation of the Texas Crown Act, a law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of hairstyles commonly or historically associated with race. In September, George and his family filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the state's attorney general, and school officials for allegedly failing to enforce the state's Crown Act law.
Right, because we just read the article LaBiat just sent me, the water LaBiat. She's our field reporter. According to what she just sent me, he passed the damn law. So he is in violation of it if you keep messing with this little boy for a whole damn month. And what'd they say, 13 days?
Yeah, that's how long he's been alternative.
y'all been harassing him. If I was his family, I'd be bringing them up on harassment charges also.
They've been doing that since the beginning of the school year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. School been session for, about 3 months. Wow. Mm.
Okay. Bloom told CNN the George family had been told repeated violations of the school dress code would result in continued disciplinary action. Until he cut his hair or we get a court ruling to the contrary, he will stay in ISS.
You know who they sound like right now? They sound like Delilah.
Cut your hair.
What happened to Samson when he cut his hair, though, y'all?
He lost his strength.
You know, they know what they're doing. Y'all can do your own research and go back, man. And I've covered this before. Type in Indian boarding schools. They briefly skimmed over it in the movie Killers of the Flower Moon. But those boarding schools, and they're all throughout the U.S. and up in Canada, the first thing they would do was they would cut their hair. You know why they would cut their hair? Cutting them off from their culture. Cutting them off from their nationality, who they are. And in our case, it's cutting us off from the Most High. Now, before y'all be running rampant, talking about Tazza Pod, saying a man shouldn't cut his hair, whoopee-whoop, I'm not saying that. So a lot of us, we choose to pull our hair or to cut our hair, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with you wearing your long hair. Ain't nothing wrong with that if you're a man. As well as your beard. And you know what I hate to see, man? I hate to see brothers, especially brothers up in age, in their 40s and 50s and beyond, and they booty face. And no face, you ain't got no facial hair. When we know that, we look in the Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary for the definition of beard, it says a badge of manly honor. What makes you a man? Some facial hair. You got no facial hair, you like a little boy. I remember, rest his soul, Elijah going to school. Was it middle school or high school, Abia?
Middle school.
He had a beard, but they was messing with him in high school, I think it was, trying to get him to cut his beard. It was his beard, too. They were trying to get him to cut his beard and his hair because he had a big afro, big puffy beard, beautiful beard. But my point in saying all this is, they understand that this is how you cut them off from being connected with the Most High. Even though this little brother probably even know nothing about the Most High. Maybe he does. I hope he does. I hope he's an Israelite. But maybe he doesn't, man. But us not even knowing that is our connection to the Most High, subconsciously it's like we do know, you know, because it's a part of who we are, man. It's our heritage. But the first thing they want to do is cut it off, make us conform. Just like they did the so-called Native Americans in those boarding schools. There's nothing new under the sun, y'all.
Reno. But he added, George's suspension will not affect his ability to graduate.
Wow, really? It ain't going to affect his... Well, he ain't been in school for 3 months. He been in alternative school. The water for that, cuz my cousin Devin just sent me, he said the church he went to, it was a rule for men to cut off their facial hair.
Wow. Man.
I guess we got to get it. Find me that. Find me beard in there. We're going to bring this out, man. We got a little bit of time. See, I don't think I'm just making stuff up. And I went over this, man. I did a whole series entitled Long Hair Don't Care. Because Geno Jenkins, whatever his damn name is, a lot of people be listening to him, man, but a lot of stuff he be saying, y'all, is inaccurate. He was telling people that it was unlawful for a man to have long hair, and he was citing 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Now, Paul wrote that. Those were one of Paul's epistles. And how would Paul, who took the vow of a Nazarite twice, who was an upholder of the law, and the vow of a Nazarite is you had long hair, and then once your vow was over, you cut it. He did it twice. Go back and read Acts. How would Paul look if he came back and said you can't have long hair? That would make him a hypocrite. Who would want to follow that? That would be confusing. So we know it had to be more than that, more to it than that. And Mashaba's going over it now, doing a beautiful series over it, how Israelites were cross-dressing in Corinth and wearing wigs. That's what it was talking about. Anyway, tell them where you at and read this definition.
From the Zondervan Bible, Compact Bible Dictionary, page 72, beard. A badge of manly dignity.
What's a beard?
A badge of manly dignity.
This is how you know you're a man. When young men start growing up, getting the bass in their voice, they're going through maturity. You know, I mess with my son now. He got a little fuzz on his lip. I was messing with Kaya Yael, too. They got a little fuzz on their chin. But this is how you know are coming into manhood. Becoming a man. They'll tell a man or a little boy to cut his beard off, but do you ever see them telling a little girl to cut their titties off? No, you don't. Why? That's a part of nature. This is how you know she's becoming a young woman. Read it again.
Beard, a badge of manly dignity.
Mm-hmm.
As a sign of mourning, it was the custom to pluck it out.
As a sign of mourning, this is when you're allowed to cut a beard off. Well, it's just all your hair. When you're mourning. And hell, our people do it now. How many times you see our people, they'll show up for work or they show up for class or whatever, they hair gone. They're mourning. They might not be mourning the death, but they might be going through some life-changing events to where they're mourning about something. They just say, man, it's time for a change. And they cut their hair. Then they're done that. All right. Let's get off of that. Let's go back to the article about the young brother who they're trying to get to cut his hair.
As far as graduation impact, there is none. A program is in place for him to complete his courses in dress code ISS if he chooses not to trim his hair.
Can't y'all see that this is a forced conversion? They're trying to get him to conform. No, you're going to conform. No, nigga, your name is Toby, not Kunta Kinte. That's what this is. They're trying to break this young brother. Read.
Bloom said, adding that a teacher is assigned to each ISS classroom to help students complete regular coursework. Still, George's mother told CNN she is worried the suspensions and disciplinary action will affect her son's education.
Not just his education, y'all. It's affecting his psyche. But I hope it's affecting his psyche in a good way. So he can really see these people don't love you. These people are not your friends. These people are, in fact, your enemy. I hope this is the lesson he's getting. Read.
It's been very frustrating and overwhelming. It's ridiculous. We're trying to hang in there, get through the motions, Darisha George told CNN. We're not going to back down. I don't care what tactics they try. We're not backing down. Texas State Representative Ron Reynolds, a Democrat and co-author of the state's Crown Act law, told CNN the measure was passed to protect students such as George from hair discrimination, regardless of the length. Reynolds said he is working to propose changes to the language of the law to expand protection. I will file an amendment to the bill during the next legislative session that specifically addresses length to stop their pretextual argument to not comply with the Crown Act, he said. They are acting in bad faith to continue discriminating against African-American students.
Now, what's sad is the mother saying that she ain't going to back down, man. Come on, man. Why put your son through that? Why keep seeking love from people that don't love us? Let's get Jeremiah chapter 23. And let's start at verse 24. And Job said this also, man. I guess we should get that one too. Let's get this one. Go ahead, read this. 24.
Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?
No. I'm going to just quote it in Job. Job said, if I hide my transgressions like Adam. How did Adam hide his transgressions? He dove all the way in head first. He put on the covering of the other nations. He became like them. He assimilated in an effort to hide from the Most High. What does this say? Read this again.
Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?
But the Most High said his eyes are 10,000 times brighter than the sun. How you going to hide from the Most High? You know, the one who created darkness. You think you're doing your stuff on the low? When the Most High has a giant spotlight on you, you can't hide from the Most High. He sees what we're doing, y'all. Read.
Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord.
Now watch this. This is what I want to get to. Read.
Verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed.
Now, we already know what this is talking about. This is talking about Martin Luther King, y'all. He's the only supposed prophet that ever said things like this, that we can relate to in modern times, saying things like this. I have a dream today. And what was his dream? Essentially, his dream was assimilation. Let's be like the other people. And it's funny, too. LaBia was watching one of her shows. My wife looks at a lot of niggerism, y'all. A lot of nigger shows. She was looking at some damn reality show about these niggas that supposedly going back to college, these celebrities that are washed up.
College Hill.
College Hill. And one episode they had where they had they were discussing segregation and desegregation and asking each student how they felt about it, whether or not they themselves would have instituted desegregation or they would have stayed segregated. And most of the students were on the side of desegregating, you know, mixing in with our
integration.
They were with integration. Thank you for that, ma'am. Mixing in with our red counterparts who we loosely refer to as white. They were with that, with the integration. And this one sister stood up, Jocelyn. She was on some reality stuff. She's Ephraim, y'all, so-called Puerto Rican. And she identifies as black. Good for her. She knows. But anyway, she said she was on the side of segregation. And all of them took offense to it. Everybody got mad and upset, especially the little beige one. Amber Rose, little bald head thought. She got mad because she's biracial. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, our people are really ignorant. I don't know if y'all knew this, but before the whole desegregation thing happened, the saying was separate but equal. We weren't fighting to assimilate. Initially, we were just fighting to have things that were equal to our counterparts. We were a lot smarter. And that's what we were fighting for. We were fighting for technology such as, back in those days, updated books, new textbooks, something as simple as that. You know, schools where the infrastructure was not falling apart. We got hand-me-downs. Go back and do y'all research, man. Y'all always talking about these HBCUs and all of this. You know they're funded by our enemies, but those are some of the worst schools. Hell, the Tuskegee experiment was held at where? At the University of Tuskegee. Anyway, back to my point. We were originally petitioning for separate but equal. We just wanted to be on the same playing field. We wanted basic human necessities. That's all we wanted. We never wanted to be integrated. That's why King, and y'all probably heard this here lately, is famous for saying that he brought his people into a burning building or a burning house, integrated his people into a burning house. He knew the error of his ways. But he went in head first and assimilated. And this is why we're going through the things that we go through even to this day. So read this again. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Verse 25.
I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed.
Mm-hmm. Read.
How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies?
How long is this going to be in the prophets' hearts that prophesy? How long is this going to be in our people's hearts to where we feel like we have to assimilate with them? We have to cover our hearts and pledge allegiance to a place that's hated us from conception. We have to be good Americans. Y'all realize we're the only nation, the only group of people, the only race of people that have fought and died in every war country has ever had. Go back and fact check it. You won't get this accomplishment or this participation from your Chinese American, from your Japanese American, from your Arab American, from your real African American, from your, East Indian American. You won't get that in their history. But all the people I just named, they show them more love than they show us. But we're still in this vision right here. Read that again.
Verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name. I have dreamed.
So the whole doctrine of Martin Luther the King, his assimilation, his dream, his integration. Read.
How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies?
This is why this lady said we ain't going to give up. We going to keep fighting. Why? Why put your son through that? Why try to make these people love you that blatantly tell you that they don't love you? Why would you do this? Yes.
That you should just have them cut a pick?
No, what I'm saying is she should find another school or homeschool the boy. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, like take him out of the school?
Yes. Why put him through this?
Okay, I thought
No. Hell no, I ain't saying cut his hair. It was the last thing I'm going to say. Take him out of the situation. This is why, get on my soapbox a little bit, and I applaud school. I don't know if you've got a school up and running, but the brother's right, man. We need our own schools. Definitely. We need our own infrastructure in general. We need clinics. We need hospitals. We need morgues. We need schools. You know, the scripture says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when they get old, they shall not depart from it. We should be training and raising up our replacements, y'all. I don't get too much on my soapbox, man. All right, let's go back to this one here. And look for the House passes anti-Semitic bill. I don't know if y'all knew it. And this is ironic, too, man. Here we are getting close to the beginning of Hanukkah, man. The Feast of Dedication, also known as the Feast of Lights. And you go back and read the story, as I'm sure we will. We will do pieces on Hanukkah. You go back and read the story, and you find that our people were willingly assimilating. This is where we wanted to build a place of exercise and be like the heathen, man. Then later on, there was a forced assimilation, man. But it's ironic that these stories are coming out right around the time of Hanukkah, man, which shows us what? There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new, y'all. That's it. Yeah, you gotta make it bigger so you read it. Yeah, I still ain't figured out how to do this either. Oh, you got it, but how do you get rid of this one? Oh, okay.
From CNN.com, December 5th, 2023, House passes resolution condemning anti-Semitism.
House did what?
Passes resolution condemning anti-Semitism.
And this happened today, correct? So I don't know if y'all know this, but anti-Semitism is basically when you say anything about them small head people. I'm approving it. Read.
The House passed a Republican-led resolution on Tuesday condemning anti-Semitism in the United States and globally.
And where?
Globally.
And we currently have Israelite schools set up where?
Globally.
Globally. Is that a kawinky dink, y'all? Hell no, it ain't. Because all you've been hearing brothers talk about online is the small hats. Given their history, given an account of their history, showing that neither side, whether it be Esau or Ishmael, have rights to a land that isn't theirs, which is rightfully belongs to us, given to us by the Most High. Brothers have been bringing out quite eloquently, quite knowledgeably, quite historianly, they've been bringing this information out. And they have to do something to shut it down. This is it. We don't.
A number of Democrats, however, expressed concern that the language of the GOP resolution is overly broad and would effectively define any criticism of the Israeli government or its policies as anti-Semitism.
I told y'all I wasn't lying. Anything you say is deemed anti-Semitic. If you bring up the Balfour Declaration of 1948, they're going to say what? Anti-Semitic. If you bring out the fact that you can trace their lineage back to Esau, so their lineage being Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is Esau's brother, okay? If you bring that up, you're anti-Semitic. That's why he said the language is too broad.
Why would they make language broad like that? So it can circumference anybody that speaks truth about these people. Read on.
The vote was 311 to 14.
Wow, landslide. Read.
92 Democrats voted present, and 13 Democrats and one Republican voted against the resolution. The vote comes as an aid to Israel remains stalled in Congress amid Israel's war against Hamas. There is widespread bipartisan support for aid to Israel, but the issue has become entangled with partisan disputes over other policy priorities, including the U.S. southern border, putting its passage in question.
Now, they already gave them money, y'all, but they're going to give them more money. I'm going to prove it, Reed.
Ahead of the vote, Democratic reps Jerry Nadler and Daniel Goldman of New York and Jamie Raskin of Maryland urged their colleagues to vote present on the GOP resolution.
Goldman, that's a Jewish name. I want y'all to understand this. They run the world. Read.
Describing it as a partisan attempt to score political points and saying that a bipartisan approach is needed. Nadler, Goldman, and Raskin on Monday introduced an alternative resolution that condemns anti-Semitism and calls on executive branch agencies and Congress to implement the Biden administration's national strategy to counter anti-Semitism.
National strategy to counter anti-Semitism. It's open season, y'all. On who? Us. Read.
In remarks on the House floor, Nadler pointed to language in the GOP resolution stating that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism.
Anti-Zionism. If you're against them, then you're anti-Semitic, basically. Let's say the game, the Lakers playing the Utah Jazz. And the Zionists picked the Jazz, but you picked the Lakers. Guess what? Anti-Semitic. Reed?
That is either intellectually disingenuous or just factually wrong, he said. The authors, if they were at all familiar with Jewish history and culture, should know about Jewish anti-Zionism that was and is expressly not anti-Semitic,
did he just say the H word? Historic.
Mm-hmm.
Historic. This is what people don't want to do. They don't want to research history. And this is why when you say something, people look at you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
These non-readers of history. Read.
Most anti-Zionism, particularly in this moment, has a real anti-Semitism problem. But we cannot fairly say that one equals the other, he said. In November, the GOP-controlled House passed a bill to provide $14.3 billion in aid to Israel.
I told y'all they already gave them money, Reed.
Democrats, however, took issue with the bill over the fact that it would enact funding cuts to the Internal Revenue Service.
It would do what?
Enact funding cuts to the Internal Revenue Service.
They're willing to cut the IRS funding to support the small hats. I told y'all they run the world. Read.
And would not include aid to Ukraine.
Help Ukraine. Read.
Senate Republicans, on the other hand, have argued that aid for Ukraine and Israel must be paired with border policy changes, which has created a sticking point in that chamber. Separately, two House Democrats are planning on introducing a resolution this week condemning Hamas's use of sexual violence and rape against Israeli women. Democratic Representative Lois Frankel of Florida has begun drafting the resolution, a Democratic lawmaker familiar with the plans told CNN.
All right, so that's enough of that. Let's go to First Maccabees. And Let's start at... Start at verse 41. Matter of fact, we're going to chapter 1. Let's start at verse 37. You got it, Lavia?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 37.
Mm-hmm.
Thus they shed innocent blood on every side of the sanctuary.
Now, this is when Antiochus Epiphanes, the fourth, I believe, also known, they call him Antiochus, also, when he ransacked the temple at Jerusalem, and he shed innocent blood in the sanctuary, and it says he defiled it. Verse 38.
Insomuch that the inhabitants of Jerusalem fled because of them, whereupon the city was made an habitation of strangers and became strange to those that were born in her, and her own children left her.
Read.
Her sanctuary was laid waste like a wilderness. Her feasts were turned into mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Her Sabbath into reproach, her honor into contempt.
Read.
As had been her glory, so was her dishonor increased. And her excellency was turned into mourning.
Talking about the temple. And as the temple goes, we go. As the temple goes, we go. Verse 41.
Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
He said that all what?
Should be one people.
Does this sound familiar? This mm-hmm. is the great melting pot of America. Everybody's one people. That's why you see everybody right now hanging up damn Christmas crap. I hate this time of year, man. One people, and when you tell people you don't celebrate Christmas, they're looking at you like you're crazy. Then they might hit you with, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. I say, prove it. Show me. Prove it. And it's crazy. You got these holy roller people putting up damn Christmas trees. Y'all know that's Nimrod? Mashaba's doing a beautiful, beautiful job in bringing all this information out. But you claim to be a Christian. You claim you following Christ, talking about he's the reason for the season. But his birthday ain't even in the scriptures because December 25th is not his birthday. And how can you justify a Christmas tree? It's not mentioned in the Bible as a good thing. Jeremiah chapter 10 said we shouldn't do it. Reading on.
And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
See, all the heathen, all the nations. Read.
Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
Mm-hmm. To his religion, his ideology. This is what, in fact, is the mark of the beast, y'all. It's not some damn chip in your head and all this other mess. It's this place's religion, their ideologies, what they deem as the most high, their mythology, their paganism, all of that. That's the mark of the beast. That's the real mark that's in your forehead, which is what's contained in your forehead? Your brain. That programming, the programming of this place is the mark of the beast. Read.
Many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath.
And this is what we're doing now, sacrificing to idols, profaning the Sabbath. Nothing new under the sun. Read.
For the king had sent letters of messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land.
So this is what I just read about Congress. This is their bill. Well, the king passed the bill too. Now let's see what was entailed in his bill. Read.
and forbid burnt offerings.
Because when they're coming after us, now they're going to say, man, look at them people. Look at the stuff they do. Look at the high holy days that they celebrate. Them people is off. They're weird. And they're anti-Semitic. Read.
And sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and festival days.
Read. Now, this was the law. Read.
And pollute the sanctuary and holy people.
Pollute yourselves. You know, just like they're trying to get that young brother to cut his hair. Read.
Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine flesh.
Go and put the mistletoe up. Put the Christmas tree in your house. Get you that honey baked ham. Read.
And unclean beef.
Get you some duck, too. Read.
That they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation.
YOLO. Read.
To the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinance. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said,
that whoever won't stop bringing out the truth about the small hats, read.
He should die.
He should what?
He should die.
Yes, sir. This is going to happen. Either dying or you going to prison, or they'll character assassinate you. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing a lot of brothers' YouTube channels cut off. Read.
In the self-same manner wrote he to his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanding the cities of Judah to sacrifice city by city.
Read, and this is going to be the law enforcement. See, it says city by city. Read.
Then many of the people were gathered unto them, to wit, everyone that forsook the law, and so they committed evil in the land and drove the Israelites into secret places.
Now, jump down to verse 55.
And burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law.
When they did what?
Rent in pieces the book of the law.
They tore the Bible up. I hope y'all seeing this. When they tore the Bible up, read.
Which they found, they burnt them with fire.
They burnt the Bible up with fire. Now, get this next article right here.
From APnews.com. Utah District bans Bible in elementary and middle schools due to the vulgarity or violence.
They're banning Bibles in Utah. Now, this is from last year. But if they did it there, it's coming to a state near you. And they claim the vulgarity of the language. Wow. Read on.
Published June 2nd, 2023. Salt Lake City Associated Press. The good book is being treated like a bad book in Utah after a parent frustrated by efforts to ban materials from schools convinced a suburban district that some Bible verses were too vulgar or violent for younger children. And the Book of Mormon could be next.
Who cares about the damn Book of Mormon? Well, go ahead.
The 72,000-student Davis School District north of Salt Lake City removed the Bible from its elementary and middle schools while keeping it in high schools after a committee reviewed the scripture in response to a parental complaint. The district has removed other titles, including Sherman Alexie's The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian and John Green's Looking for Alaska, following a 2022 state law requiring districts to include parents in decisions over what constitutes sensitive material.
Now, before y'all say, Tazza Pop, ain't no niggas in Utah. Y'all wrong. There's some brothers and sisters in Utah, y'all. Remember, GAD is heavy throughout that region, all throughout Utah. Issachar is as well, and Judah's out there, believe it or not. But my point in bringing all this out is this goes hand in hand with what they did before when they tore the Bibles up and they burned them. They're doing the same thing now by taking them out of our hands. It's our book, y'all. It's our heritage. Anything they can do to cut us off from the Most High, because like it says in the book of Revelations, Satan is coming down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. This is where we are. All right. So, y'all, let me take a brief intermission, and we'll come back with the class title, Martyrs for the Gospel, Part 3. I'll be right back. So we are back. We are back, man. Let's do a small recap, y'all. Let's go to Acts chapter 21, verse 10. And like I showed, like I said, y'all, this is a series I've been working on for quite some time. The last parts we were going over the apostle Paul's death. And so we're going to recap a little bit about Paul, and then we'll go into John the Revelator and how he, we'll just go into John the Revelator. I ain't going to give it away. All right, where we at?
Acts chapter 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth his girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Deliver him to the hands of who?
The Gentiles.
But I thought he was the apostle to the Gentiles. I hope y'all seeing, man, that there's two different types of Gentiles in the New Testament, man. Real, actual nations, other nation Gentiles. And then there were Israelites who grew up in these areas that these Gentiles ran and owned, specifically the Romans. Which goes hand in hand with the prophecies of the Bible that said that we would be scattered all throughout the four corners of the globe. Those passages are contained all throughout the Bible. All right. So, reading on.
And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem.
Because they didn't want Paul to go, because this prophet had just prophesied the way that Paul was going to be killed, the way he was going to die. Read.
Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bond only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus."
Paul was saying he was ready, man. He was ready to go, man. And this brother right here, he has some heart, man. He's Paul's essentially saying, "I wish a nigga would." He was ready, man. Is that it? Oh, you know what? Yeah, keep reading.
"And when he would not be persuaded, we seemed saying, the will of the Lord be done."
So Paul wouldn't be persuaded. He would not be moved, man. So you know what they had to do? They had to leave it alone. They had to say, "The will of the Most High be done." Read.
"And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem."
And he went anyway. Now, let's go. Hold on. Let me pull it up real quick. Man, I'm so glad my iPad is back working. I had my computer tech troubleshoot it. All right. So go there. Tell them where you're reading from. And I want you to jump down to – wait a minute. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I guess we could read that first. Yeah, go ahead and read that first, because we did this last week anyway. Get Paul.
From csmedia1.com, how the disciples, apostles of the Bible, died. Apostle Paul, also known as Saul, wrote half of the New Testament, was beheaded by Emperor Nero at Rome.
So that's how Paul died. He was beheaded by the Emperor Nero at Rome. Now let's go. We're going to come back to that one too. Mm-hmm. Hold on, y'all. I gotta make sure I still got it. I might not have it no more. Oh yeah, I still got it. Here we go. Read that right there.
From Britannica.com, how did St. Paul, the apostle, die? The exact details of St. Paul's death are unknown, but tradition holds that he was beheaded in Rome and thus died as a martyr for his faith.
So we got two sources saying that he was beheaded at Rome, near Rome. Read on.
His death was perhaps part of the executions of Christians ordered by the Roman Emperor Nero following the great fire in the city in 64 CE.
Now, we covered this last week, how Nero used this fire, who a lot of people say he started himself, to reconstruct the city of Rome. He used the fire as a reason to do it, and he blamed the Christians, this new sect of people that were being found problematic because they were following this guy who they call Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and saying that he was their king. So what he did was he used the fire to blame us for something and get people hating us more than they already hated us. And when it says, when it talks about the Christians, it's talking about those Jews who believed in Christ. Now, remember, a lot of us did not. A lot of the Israelites during the time of Christ, even after the time of Christ, did not believe in Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior. So we had a lot of internal beef. So this was the climate of our nation during this time. I want us to keep that in mind. This is essential. Because remember, who brought Christ to Pontius Pilate in the first place? It wasn't other nations. It was us. It was Israelites. The same thing with Paul. Who delivered Paul to Nero? It was us. Peter, the same way. It was us against us. Israelites that believed in Christ, Israelites that didn't believe in Christ. All right, where we at?
You want me to keep reading the last sentence?
Is that read all of that.
It is known that St. Paul was imprisoned in Rome and wrote several of his epistles, letters, during his captivity there.
Uh-huh. And we covered this last week in Timothy when Paul was writing his letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4, telling Timothy to bring his parchments, to bring the cloak he left, saying he had fought the good fight, basically his farewell letter because he knew he was about to be martyred for the gospel of Christ, for the good news, y'all. All right, so let's go to Caesar in Christ, page 592. And, Lobby, I want you to get Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9.
Okay.
Yep.
Caesar in Christ by Will Durant, page 592. John, the accidents of history have transmitted Paul to us in comparative clarity and have left the Apostle John in obscurity and mystery.
So now we're dealing with the Apostle John. Read.
Besides three epistles, two major works have come down to us under his name.
Right. It says the three epistles that he wrote, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. This is why you'll hear us say a lot of times St. John. So you'll know what book to go to. St. John is the Gospels. Read on.
Criticism tentatively assigns the book of Revelation to the year 69 to 70 and to another John, the presbyter, mentioned by...
It says Revelation was wrote the year 69 or 70 A.D. Now, remember, 70 A.D. is when Jerusalem fell. Read on.
And to another John, the presbyter, mentioned by Papias, Justin Martyr attributes this powerful apocalypse to the beloved apostle. Early as the 4th century, Eusebius noted that some scholars doubted its authenticity.
Of course they would, because of all the prophecies that's in Revelation that are not favorable to certain nations. Read.
The author must have been a man of considerable prominence, for he addresses the churches of Asia in a tone of menacing authority. If the apostle wrote it, and we may provisionally continue to think so, we can understand why. Like his brother James, he was called Boanerges, son of thunder.
Y'all remember that, right? When they were called the sons of thunder. Read, him and his brother James. Read.
In Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, and other cities of Asia Minor, John, rather than Peter or Paul, was looked upon as the highest head of the church. Tradition.
So John traveled to all these places. Name those places again.
In Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, and other cities of Asia Minor.
So these are all the places that John the Revelator traveled, teaching, reaching the Israelites. The same as Paul. Like that's why all the disciples were doing all the traveling. Because once again, the Israelites were scattered throughout the four corners. Matter of fact, Labia, give me that Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. We're scattered out. Through the whole Revelations. We're scattered through the four corners of the globe, man. This was prophesied, like I said. It's all throughout the Bible. This is why they were traveling the way they were traveling. You know, like you get brothers now, man, that are traveling from city to city, and a lot of brothers got their passports now, man, and they all over the globe going to gather the lost sheep, like Christ told us to do. Where you at, Labia?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy father have known, even wood and stone.
So to add to us being scattered throughout the four corners of the globe, we were going to fall heavily into idolatry. It was like that during the time of the disciples, and it's like that even now. Our people is heavily into idolatry, whether they know it or not. I don't care what they call it, and specifically Christmas. They can say Jesus is the reason. They can quote the nativity scene. They can try to make this be about the most. It's not. This is idolatry, full-fledged idolatry, leading into Genesis, the worship of Janus, January, right around the corner. All this idolatry, y'all. But this is why the disciples were traveling the way that they traveled. This is why they went to so many places, because our people were scattered throughout the nation for idolatry. For idolatry, the Most High gave us over to it. So going back to the book.
In Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, and other cities of Asia Minor, John, rather than Peter or Paul, was looked upon as the highest head of the church. Tradition, as reported by Eusebius, held that John had been banished to Patmos.
To where?
To Patmos.
I just want to count that he was banished to Patmos. Read.
By Domitian.
By who?
Domitian.
This Domitian was Vespasian's son, I believe. Yeah, General Vespasian's son. He had two sons, Titus and Vespasian. Titus and Domitian. So he was Vespasian's son, and he banished John the Revelator to the island of Patmos. Read.
John had been banished to Patmos by Domitian and had on that Aegean Isle written both the fourth gospel and the Apocalypse.
Now, it says it's in the Aegean, the Aegean Islands. You can still take tours over there to this day, but it's such a remote place that you have to take a ferry, I believe, from Athens or something like that. But read on.
He lived to so great an age that people said he would never die.
He lived to so great an age people said he would never die. And we're going to get where they get that from, too, that he would never die. Let's get this first, though. Read this article right here. Tell them where you're reading from.
From heroesbibletrivia.org, John at Patmos. Why was he exiled, and why was it a blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine yourself in the place of John at Patmos? It could have been very lonely, but why was he exiled in the first place? In this article, we will tackle the reasons for his exile, how it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, the lessons you can learn from his experience. But first, let's get to know him personally. Let's get into it. Let's meet his family. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, referenced in Luke chapter 5, verse 10.
Now, Labia, now give me Revelations 1 and 9. And we're not going to read all this. We're going to do a little skipping.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
This goes hand in hand with what we just read out of Caesar and Christ and this article we're reading. So we got three sources saying he was on the island of Patmos. Now we're going to jump down. Bear with me, y'all. Here we go. Why was he exiled? We're still on this website.
Okay. Why was he exiled at Patmos? Number one, John's enemies wanted to stop him from preaching about Jesus.
Who was his enemies? It was us. It was the Israelites, his own people. They were enemies of the gospel, of the good news. Read.
John cared a lot for his new believers. For instance, there were times when the faith of the Christians would seem to waver. The apostle would always remind them of Jesus' words in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his son. As you can see, John was doing well. He was modeling what a responsible and faithful evangelist should be doing. Unfortunately, this unwavering fidelity to the cause of Christ caused the bitterest hatred from his enemies, since John was the last survivor of Jesus' disciples.
He was the what?
Last survivor of Jesus' disciples.
John survived, y'all. He was the only disciple that was not martyred. Read.
His enemies decided to silence his testimony. If they accomplished this plan, they thought that Christ's doctrine would not spread anymore. Worse, it might soon die out of the world if they treated it severely. So how did they accomplish this plan? Number two, they sent him to the Roman emperor for a trial.
They did what?
Send him to the Roman emperor for a trial.
Does this sound familiar? They did the same thing to Christ. They did the same thing to Peter. They did the same thing to Paul. Hell, all the disciples. They put them on trial. Once again, these are our own people, man. In particular, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were trying to, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to maintain their power. They knew the prophecy about Christ. They knew he was the Messiah. You can go back and what was his name? He was like a lead Pharisee who said that it was expedient for this man to die for all the people. I want to say it was Nicodemus. I might be wrong. But one of the Pharisees said this. So they knew the prophecy of the scripture. But they were trying to hold on and maintain their power. No, read this.
Yes, unfortunately, John's enemies did that. But John was innocent, right? Well, they misstated his doctrines and charged him with false witnesses.
Here we go again. They did the same thing to Christ. And what did they say? This man say he king, but we have only one king. Caesar is our king. This is what they said. Read on.
They accused him as a seditious person, publicly teaching theories which would subvert the nation. Though these accusations...
Now, you remember it said, or listen to what it says, it would subvert the nation. What nation? The nation of Israel. This shows you that it was our own people coming against the disciples. Read.
Through these accusations, John's enemies hoped to bring about his death. So they sent him to Emperor Domitian in 81 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
They took the opportunity, since that time there was Christian persecution going on. After hearing the charges against John, the emperor cast him into a cauldron of boiling oil.
He was cast into what?
A cauldron of boiling oil.
Read.
Also, he challenged him to drink poison.
And he was poisoned. They put him in a cauldron. Cauldron is a big pot, y'all. A big old pot of boiling whatever. It could be water. It could be oil or whatever. Remember, they did the same thing. You can go back and read it, especially since it's Hanukkah time. Second Maccabees, the seventh chapter. The lady with the seven sons, one of them, they cut his limbs off and put him in a damn frying pan. They call a cauldron. So this was common. This was the brutality of the Red Nation, also known as Esau. Read.
Also, he challenged him to drink poison. Can you imagine that? Such torture. What would you do if you were John? But did you know what? God preserved John's life as he saved Daniel and his friends from the fiery furnace. True enough, John had no trace of burn on his skin.
He had what?
No trace of burn on his skin.
It didn't touch him. Read.
Neither was he poisoned by the drink.
Read. And y'all remember Paul got bit by a venomous snake that jumped out of a fire on his arm, and he lived. So, no, this is not impossible. Read.
With this, he claimed God's promise in Mark 16:18. That is, if people drink by any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Number three, John's testimony made his enemies.
And this is what Christ told them, that they was going to be able to withstand. And I brought this out also. Read.
Testimony made his enemies and the Roman emperor even angrier. John's survival and deliverance didn't convince the emperor. It didn't change his bad impression of Jesus. He even said, "Thus perish all who believe in that deceiver, Jesus Christ of Nazareth." But John replied, "My master patiently submitted to all that Satan could devise to humiliate and torture him."
And he did. He willingly took that beating. Free.
He gave his life to save the world.
Right. Once again, the world of Israel. Read.
He continued, "I am honored being permitted to suffer for his sake. I am weak, sinful man. I'm a weak, sinful man. Christ was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Look at that humanity. Such faith and perseverance, too. Would you do the same if you were in John's place? But the more convincing his testimony, the deeper the hatred of those who oppress. So the Emperor Domitian was filled with rage. Why? He could neither dispute the reasoning of Christ's faithful advocate nor match the power that attended his utterance
truth. Jump down to part four. That's what I want to get.
Number four, the Roman emperor finally declared John's exile. Still, the emperor didn't change his mind. Hence, John felt the hand of persecution getting heavier upon him. Then the verdict finally came. By the emperor's decree, John was banished to the Isle of Patmos.
We just read in the book of Revelation, and other sources, reliable sources, say the same thing. Read.
What? Why? How come? But wait, you may be wondering what Patmos was and where it was located. Patmos was a barren, rocky island in the Aegean Sea. It had been the Roman government's chosen place of banishment for criminals.
So this was not uncommon. They would banish people to this island. Read.
Banishment for criminals. Was John a criminal too? What wrong has he done? Well, the Bible says that he was condemned for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, verse 9. With this, his enemies thought they would no longer feel his influence, and he should finally die of hardship and distress. If you were in John's place, would you probably question God why? How come you were suffering like this and if you were doing nothing wrong? You might even ask yourself, do I deserve this?
All right. Let me see. That's all I want to get from that. All right, y'all. So let me jump over and read this real quick. This is from Christianity.com, and this is the disciples. It says, "The only one of the apostles generally thought to have died a natural death from old age, and this is John. He was the church leader in the Ephesus area and is said to have taken care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in his home. During Domitian's persecution in the middle 90s, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. There, he is credited with writing the last book of the New Testament, the Revelations. An early Latin tradition has him escaping unhurt after being cast into boiling oil in Rome." So that cauldron that he was in was a pot of boiling oil. They said that he escaped. All right. Let's jump to let's go here now. And tell them where you're reading from. Hand me that jacket.
From Ertungacir.com, Ertungacir.com. John and Patmos. John, Peter, and James were the three disciples closest to Jesus. Mark 5:37, Matthew 1-7, 12, in chapter 26 through verse 37. John was very loyal to Jesus during his ministry in Jerusalem and was the only disciple that was present when Christ was crucified. And Jesus told him to watch over his mother, Mary,
who was also present at the crucifixion.
Right. So that's not far-fetched what we just read from this other article saying that he had brought Mary to his home. You know?
It is believed that John and Mary came to Ephesus and that John became the leader of the church at Ephesus. Eventually, he was captured in a persecution campaign by the Roman Emperor Domitian and was ultimately banished to Patmos, Revelation 1, verse 9 and 10.
Which we already read.
In 95 A.D.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Hold on. Give me a second, y'all. Read this part right here.
According to church tradition, John is the only apostle who died of natural causes. All others were martyred.
So everybody else was martyred. Go ahead.
Today, the Cave of the Apocalypse in Patmos is a museum and a World Heritage Site by UNESCO, about 7 meters long and 6 meters wide with silver lamps that light the space. Nowadays, it is part of a sanctuary. The rock that, according to belief, John used to rest his head is still there.
So they turned the cave, which he was held exiled in, UNESCO, they turned it into a damn museum. Ain't that something? Now, remember we read earlier that people assume that John the Revelator would never die, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's, matter of fact, before we get that, let's get, so we're going back here and read that. Tell me where you're reading from. You're going to get John and another account.
Yeah. Yep. From csmedia1.com, how the disciples, apostles of the Bible died. You say you want John?
Yep, John the Revelator.
John, the beloved, son of Zebedee, brother of James, natural death, the only apostle who did not meet a martyr's death, banished by Roman Emperor Domitian to Isle of Patmos, where he penned Revelation, the last book in the Bible, was later freed and went to preach in Turkey and died at 100.
So they say he later went to preach in Turkey. And remember, that's the region Paul was from, an area in Turkey. And it says this brother lived to be 100 years old, man. So this is why people said that they believe that John would never die. And this is the other reason. Let's get St. John now, chapter 21. All right, we're going to St. John, chapter 21, and let's start at verse 18.
St. John chapter 21, verse 18.
Now, I went over this when we were going over the martyrdom of Peter. But we have to go back here. I want to show y'all something about John the Revelator. Read.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
Now, this is Christ, Yahweh Shai, speaking to Peter. And he's telling Peter how he was going to die. All right? Now, before this, he was telling Peter to feed his sheep. So he was giving Peter some work to go do, which was what? Feed the people. Feed the lost sheep of Israel. Now he's telling Peter, hey, man, this is how you're going to die. So he's dropping quite a bit on Peter right here. And remember, Peter was perturbed with him already because Christ kept asking Peter, hey, do you love me? And he kept telling him to feed my sheep. Read on.
This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me.
So after he told Peter to do some work, then he told him how he was going to die, and then he said, follow me, letting them know he was going to be martyred like Christ was martyred. And remember, Peter was hung on a cross upside down because he deemed himself not worthy to be crucified the exact same way that Christ was. Now, after Christ dropped all this on Peter, read.
Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, was also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?
So Peter turns around, and he sees this disciple that was at the Last Supper, laid his head on Christ's breast, and asks, who was going to betray you? And that disciple, y'all, was John. All right? That was John, who we know as John the Revelator. So Peter Christ dropped his bombshell on him. He looked around, and he looked at John. And then he said what? Read verse 21.
Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?
He's like, okay, you want me to go teach the lost sheep? You want me to go out and gather your lost sheep? I'm going to die, be crucified just like you. What the hell is John going to do then? What is John going to be responsible for? All this stuff I got to do, and I'm going to die, and all this other stuff. What about him? What's going to happen to him? Listen, man. These are black people. There's no way this is any other nationality. This is how black people talk, man. Like, man, I'm doing all this. I'm going to die. What about this nigga? Read.
Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it that to be follow thou me?
He said, look how Christ checked Peter once again. If I want him to wait till I come back, what is it to you? This is what Christ is telling him. If I tell him to wait till my second coming, what they got to do with you? See, he told him, follow me. I already gave you your instructions. Your instructions is feed my sheep. You're going to die like I did. Follow me. Follow the instructions. That ain't none of your damn business what John got going on. This is what Christ essentially told Peter. Read.
Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die.
Then the brother said, I think Christ is saying that John the Revelator ain't going to die. No, he wasn't saying that he wasn't going to die. He was actually saying he wasn't going to be martyred like all the rest of the disciples were martyred. Read. Yet.
Yet. Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?
Meaning, it ain't none of your business. Ain't none of your business what's going on with John Peter. Don't worry about that. I already gave you your instructions. This is us all day, man. All day. Well, I'm going to be doing all this. What are he going to be doing? But we always what? Dipping and dapping. Don't know what's happening. And somebody else's Kool-Aid and somebody else's business. This is us all day, every day. But I'm bringing this point out to show y'all that it was prophesied that John the Revelator was going to be the only disciple that wasn't martyred, y'all. And what? Why? For the purpose of him writing the book of Revelation. And remember, matter of fact, let's keep reading. Because remember, John wrote this. Read.
Says the disciple which testified of these things.
This is John, right? He said, this is the disciple which testified of these things, talking about himself in third person. Read.
And wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true.
Man, you know I'm telling the truth. And remember, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. Man, if these ain't black people. Read.
And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
So Christ did many miracles, y'all. We got a small portion of the miracles that he performed. Not all of them. He said that books can't even contain all the stuff he did. And for him to only have ministered 3 years, man, that is miraculous. That is stupendous. All the work he was putting in just a three-year period, we ain't scratching the surface. All right, let's go back to this article, and let's get the rest of the disciples. I want you to get Andrew.
Andrew, brother of Peter, martyrdom by crucifixion, bound, not nailed, to an X-shaped cross at Petrae, Achaia, southern Greece.
So this is how Andrew died, will you?
Hung alive for 2 days, exhorting spectators all the while.
He was crucified alive, and he was doing what to spectators?
Exhorting spectators all the while.
He was still teaching. His brother was crucified, was still teaching. They hung him there alive. That is a lot of agony, but he was still teaching. Let's get Bartholomew.
Bartholomew, Nathaniel, martyrdom by being skinned alive and crucifixion head downward by the idolaters of Armenia. Was
skinned alive. Eesh. And then crucified upside down. Agonizing deaths. Read.
Western Asia near Turkey, the most traveled of the disciples after Jesus' death, preached the gospel in Mesopotamia, Iraq, Persia, Iran.
Whoa. They said he was the most traveled. Andrew. He preached the gospel where? Is this Andrew or Bartholomew?
Bartholomew.
It's Bartholomew. He was the most traveled. Where did he teach?
Preached the gospel in Mesopotamia, Iraq, Persia.
The Middle East, so the so-called Middle East. Read. Persia.
Also known as Iran.
Iran. Right. Read.
Ethiopia, Arabia, and India.
This brother was all over, man. So if he was all over in these places, then guess who else was all over in these places? Mm-hmm. Israelites. This is what's known as the diaspora or the diaspora, the scattering of the Israelites. This is why these men were traveling. Read.
That was also by the name.
Go to James the Lesser.
James the Lesser, son of Alphaeus, was the first bishop of Jerusalem, martyred in his early 90s by being thrown from a pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem,
damn,
then stoned and head bashed in with clubs.
Eesh. So they threw him off a building. Hold up. First of all, this brother lived to 90. He lived a long time, but was thrown off a building, and then they bashed him in the head and stoned him. And I'm willing to bet this was our people. Read on. That was James the Lesser, right?
Yes.
Let's get Jude.
Jude, also known as Thaddeus, wrote Book of Jude, martyred by being beaten with a club, then crucified in 72 A.D.
He was beaten with a club. And remember, he had two names like most of the disciples, the apostles, did. Remember, y'all, and I brought this out last class, like Paul, we would have a Hebrew name, and then we would have a Greek name, like Saul. Saul's name was Paul. So his Hebrew name was Saul. His Greek name was Paul. His name was never changed. It was both. Like now, us Hebrew Israelites walking around, most of us anyway, for those that are acquainted and believe in the ancient Paleo-Hebrew, we have a Jake name, and we have a Hebrew name. Nothing new under the sun, y'all. Read.
Then crucified 72 A.D. at city Edessa, also known as Turkey, while on a missionary trip that went to Persia, also known as Iran.
This brother was all over the place. We already know about Judas Iscariot, and I covered that extensively. He hung himself. He was trying to force Christ's hand to overthrow the Romans. That's why he sold Christ out. I went over there. Go back and archive it, y'all. Let's get Matthew.
Matthew, also known as Levi, martyred about 60 A.D. by being staked and speared to the ground, preached the gospel in Ethiopia, Africa, and was killed for questioning the morals of the king.
Morals of the king. And this is Matthew, also known as the publican. And what was his other name? Levi, right? He was the tax collector. So he worked for the man, as a lot of us did and a lot of us do currently. Philip.
Philip, said to have been tortured, impaled by iron hook ankles, and hung upside down to die, preaching to death, 54 A.D.
Hold up. It says he was hung upside down by his ankles by iron what?
Iron hooks.
Iron hooks. Wow. That reminds me, you remember Django when they finally caught him? They hung him upside down? Just going to cut his rod off? Same people, man. Read on.
In Heliopolis, Egypt, preached in Phrygia, which was in the Roman province of Asia near Ephesus, Turkey.
Simon. We already got Simon Peter, so the other Simon.
The Canaanite, called the Zealot, because he was associated with that sect, thought to have ministered mostly in Jordan, martyred by crucifixion in Britain in 74 A.D., and then sawn in hell.
Thomas.
Thomas Didymus, martyred through by spear in India, preached the gospel in Parthia, Iran, and in Kerala, southern India.
So he preached the gospel in, it says, India, and where else?
Iran.
Iran, and it said Parthia, right?
Parthia is Iran, and Kerala is southern India.
So we got Israelites all over there, y'all. Read on.
Where yet today the Mar Thoma Church exists.
And I believe, I got to do my fact checking. I believe Tertullian claimed to be a disciple of St. Thomas. Let's get Mark.
Mark, John Mark, was dictated to writing the book of Mark, martyred, dragged to death.
He was dragged. What about Luke?
Luke, the physician, wrote Luke and the Acts, was hanged on an olive tree.
And he traveled with Paul. So he was hung on an olive tree. Is that it?
That's it.
For Luke. All right, let's get Matthias.
Matthias, disciple who filled the place of Judas, Acts chapter 1, verses 20 through 26.
So this is the brother who took Judas Iscariot's place.
Was stoned and beheaded at Jerusalem.
Damn, stoned and beheaded. James.
James, the half-brother of Jesus.
The half-brother. Listen to this nonsense. It was his full brother. I'm a damn half-brother. Had the same daddy and mama. How the hell are you half-brother? That's that. They own that damn Immaculate Conception nonsense. Read it again.
James, thrown some 100 feet off a wall, done to him after he repeatedly refused to deny his faith in Jesus. He survived the fall and was beat to death with clubs.
He survived the fall, and then they beat him down with clubs, man. All
looks like that was a common thing to throw them off.
Throw them off buildings, beat them, yeah. Which leads me to believe that maybe the other ones survived their falls, too, and that's why they beat them. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
All right, y'all, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 9. Hey, Mama. You want to be on the air, too? What you got to say, CC?
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
And we do, man. This is why, this is why I want to bring this scripture out right here, is because a lot of the disciples and how they were martyred is not covered in the Bible, man. There's only a couple of disciples and their martyrdom that are covered in the book. But the rest of it comes from historical sources. But the Bible tells us this. Read it again.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Some things we know, some things we don't. So we know and we teach or prophesy in part for the things that we know. Read.
But when that which is perfect is come.
That which is perfect, which is Christ. Read.
Then that which is in part shall be done away.
Then he's going to give us full knowledge of everything that happened, of everything that transpired and took place when Christ come back. Read. Now listen to this. Read.
When I was a child, I spake as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I understood as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I thought as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
So this is very important, y'all, because there's different stages to your growth here in this truth. And I'm talking to you brothers, man. A lot of understanding of the book we won't get because we're still in a childlike mentality. We're still in our adolescenthood of learning, of being in this thing that we loosely refer to as the truth. And because of that, because of our immaturity, the Most High, he won't open things up to you. You won't see those things. You know, I was talking to a young brother a couple of days ago, and it's been a minute since I rapped with the brother, but the brother was telling me something about the word serve and where it came from. It came from slavery and telling me about vanilla ice cream and how we weren't allowed to eat vanilla ice cream, and that's why we came up with pecan. Something he was saying, man, but that's where he's at. You know, that's where he's at in his growth and development. Some brothers be on that stuff, man, and I don't knock him for it. I was a young man once, and I was on a bunch of other stuff, too, that was not conducive to my salvation or didn't have anything to do with my salvation or just trying to stay on the straight and narrow and be righteous, man, in this wicked place, man. But I'm bringing this out to show, man, that the scripture is true, man. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, man. And a lot of the understanding of the scriptures we won't get because we still are into childish things. You know, whatever your pastime is, maybe you're giving that too much of your attention rather than studying. You're a gamer, you watch a lot of TV, or whatever your hobby is. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those things. We all need an outlet. But sometimes we can give ourselves too much to those things. And this is what makes us immature to where we won't get certain things opened up to us. And like I said, a lot of this information come out of history books, not the Bible. So read it on.
For now we see through a glass darkly.
So when we pick up this book, the Bible, we see through a glass darkly. Some of it's kind of blurry. Some of it's murky. We can't make all of the prophecies out. We don't really fully understand all of the scriptures. Read.
But then shall I know even as also I am known.
Right. Even when you get to that level of maturity, some things won't be revealed to you. Some things you still won't see. That's why I said, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. I said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Christ is going to reveal all those missing pieces that we don't have to us. Read on.
And now abideth faith.
I'm sorry. He says, and now know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. When Christ come back and reveal those things to us, then we're going to know all things like Christ know us in all the things that we do. So read verse 13.
And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
The greatest is love. But remember what he said about it now. So even though certain parts of the Bible we don't have, some certain parts of the Bible or the things that happened weren't recorded, he says now abided faith. And that's what I want to key in on. Let's get Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 13.
Romans 10 and 13.
Read.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a true saying. Read.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
In whom they have what?
Not believed.
Because this be the problem. A lot of us don't believe, like Christ said, we're supposed to believe in St. John 7:38, as the scriptures say. We have to believe what the scriptures say. We have to. This is how we could cross-reference the scriptures with history books and see if the history book is telling the truth or not. Read.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Read.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Uh-huh.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Mm-hmm.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Read.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Read that part again.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
We ain't all obeyed the good news. We can't handle the good news that what? Christ only died for one nation. Christ looked just like you and I. He's a man of color. Christ is coming. He said he's the destroyer of the Gentiles. A lot of us have not believed that. That's where our faith has to kick in. But our faith in what? In the book. Read.
For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?
This is talking about Elijah. Elijah said, who hath believed our report? And I believe that is the 53rd chapter of the book of Elijah. The first verse. Who hath believed our report? Read.
So then faith cometh by hearing.
Now, remember I said I wanted to key in on this faith coming from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 13. But he said, because it said that we should keep faith, right? Keep the faith in the scriptures. And it tells you what? That so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what, though? Read.
And hearing by the word of God.
And hearing by the word of God. So how do you develop your faith?
Hearing the word of God.
You have to hear the word of the Most High. And this is how you develop your belief in the word of the Most High. Give me Romans chapter 11 now and verse 7.
Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then Israel hath not obtained that which he speaketh for? But the election hath obtained it.
Meaning, not all Israel going to get it. Not all Israel going to get the scriptures opened up and revealed to them. But the way you do that is you have to, like the scripture says, have that faith. And that faith is the belief in God's words, like Christ says, St. John 7:38. You have to believe what the scriptures say. If you don't, you're going to be blinded. You're going to be blinded. Read on.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day.
And a lot of our people have the spirit of slumber or the spirit of deep sleep put on them to where they ain't trying to hear no parts of the scriptures or got the church mentality and what the church told them about the scriptures, but rather than going straight to the source and getting understanding for themselves. All right, y'all, that is the 10-second mark. This is a good place to stop. I hope everybody got some edification out of the class and understanding. If you got any questions over anything we went over, man, please feel free to hit me up at area code 314-482-9110 or questions over anything else not dealing with the topic, or if you just want to rap to it, brother, that's cool too. I appreciate everybody tuning in. The Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. Y'all got anything y'all want to say? Any questions? All right, cool. All right, y'all. Lord willing, until next Tuesday, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, brothers and sisters, we're going to say shalom.